When I was in high school, I was, you know, I made it. All my friends were non-Latins, and I was in the school paper, when a certain crowd of us. I used to be just worried to death. We'd make appointments. We'd go away for a weekend to a lake, or we'd go to a ball game and then a party at somebody's house. I used to go through hell, making sure, you know, trying to get not to meet them at outside of Ybor City, and when. Just didn't make any sense to some of the other guys. Like, would be four couples or so. One of the kids would have a car from his father or something. He'd want to come pick me up. So, just okay, you know. And it, you know, kids don't notice whether you're rich or you're not rich. But I used to worry to death that any one of those guys would not just stop and pick me up and drive on, but would want to come in the house. For example, the guy who usually used to first come pick me and then another guy up in his car, because his father was the president of the Tampa Gas Company and we had a kerosene stove. And that would worry me to death. Oh, you know, it's a terrible thing to try to get over. You didn't think of yourself as American. The Americans were the others. That's right. They, with a capital T-H, was first I thought they were the Americans only. Then they were the capitalists. You know, and they was that thing that's keeping us from liberation. And the terrific discussions that would go on, and it had to do with my defending Ford, etc. And my Cuban grandfather, who had, you know, known José Martí when he was a young man and raised money for the Cuban liberation movement, things like that. Martí used to come to Tampa to speak.
Martí was the great,
liberator of Cuba.
From the Spanish,
War of National Independence. He's also happened to have been a great writer and a poet. Well, my grandfather, unlike the rest of the family who thought very highly of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I quoted him in this story practically verbatim in the midst of this thing, you know, arguing with the rest of them all, you know, and saying, we have to learn to live like I lived as a boy in Key West, so we have to learn to eat stones and survive on it. And what about this election? Is Herbert Hoover is just a mean old skinflint, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt is just another Mussolini.
This was who your
grandfather... My Cuban grandfather, but most everybody, you know, loved Roosevelt.
Did New Deal have any effect?
Yes, really, because the NRA and WPA and works projects of all kinds were set up. People did get certain kind of jobs. It became the basis for the new unionization drive, you know, the famous NRA Act. And, I forgot one thing about
sure.
The reader strike.
Go ahead.
One of the people in the top strike committee, and you isn't just about women, was a woman. And she was the only woman in Tampa, or man, that I can remember being of Mexican descent. And she was married to a shoe repairman who, about six blocks from where I lived. And they had several children, and one daughter and a son who were in junior high school where I was, not in my classes. And I still remember that day that I stood patrol, because the workers might advance on the junior high school, that she was kept in the principal's office, this daughter, and her mother went to jail as one of the top strike leaders. And I remember that everybody used to then take their shoes to be repaired to her husband. So she came out of Radford and they moved out of Tampa. And I still remember the sister, the daughter and the boy walking home from junior high, and I remember walking a block behind them trying to decide, shall I go over and tell them, you know, that I thought it was a good thing and that my sympathies, you know, to ask them about their mother, all of that, and somebody joined them. And I never got to say it to them. I used to feel very bad about that. And years later, in New York, at a meeting for the Loyalist Spain in Harlem, I saw the daughter, and she was collecting money. And I told her.
I suppose the Civil War played a big role in the thoughts of people.
It was wild. Everybody got 10% of their pay for the Republic. worked at all kinds of things to raise money. Well, in An Orderly Life, I tell a little bit about the, you know, the song that in New York was taken to be a song from Spain was really a song done by his Tampa cigar maker, No Pasarán. The total community was with Loyalist Spain, and they used to send enormous amounts of things, you know. Oh, you know, the clothes, food, money, etc. It was totally organized. The Spanish ambassador would go to Tampa, and he'd walk into a factory, and the place would stand, you know, and sing El Himno de Ribeiro, the Republican national anthem of Spain.
When did you sense they no longer felt it?
When the reader strike was lost, and those people went to jail, and when they published in the Tampa paper, just a full page in large type, the names of all the members of the strike committees at every factory, none of whom got their jobs back. My mother did.
So a blacklisting then.
There was a blacklisting.
What happened to people who were blacklisted?
Their neighbors helped them. Until they went to New York, that kind of thing. Then there's another thing would happen. Then, you see, there'd be a blacklist. They'd be strong about it for a while. But then you have foremen like my uncle. He didn't go by any blacklist. That's what there would be in that town. There would be enormous solidarity. There was just something very nice. It was just something very nice. For people with all the pride of the Latins, etc., to have during the strike to, you know, make nothing of it, to make canteens, and the KKK would come in, you know, and overthrow. I mean, they would really organize.
You say the KKK would come in.
Oh yes, the strikes in Ybor City, they would come into the labor temple with guns, break up the meetings. The labor temple was something that was built by worker subscription. It was a big, for them, big building, auditorium. And this where the union meetings would be held. And this always happened. So from 1901 on, at one point there would be the citizens' committees and the KKK that would come in. Because for the reader's strike, the picket line was to hold hands around a factory. And they would, you know, cart them off, beat them.
Well, they'd come from Tampa.
Yeah, very frequently the police in hoods.
In hoods, actually?
Oh, yes. That's why, though they were called Citizens Committee, everybody would call them Los Cuckoo Clans. But I'd say, why are they, you call them Cuckoo Clan if they're the Citizens Committee? Because they wear the sheets.
Was that a key change in attitudes of people toward one another from the 30s to the 60s?
Yeah, you know, even just physically, Tampa has become a place with a highway through it, a freeway through it. Nobody walks. There are no gathering places. You don't walk down 7th Avenue or East Broadway, as they would call it, and chat and talk and go to the clubs. No, you get in a car and you go somewhere. Everybody lives apart. Everybody has jobs. Their concerns are mundane ones, you know, getting a color TV set this year, that's the big thing. Getting a better job. And there is really no real Latin community anymore. There's a bit of it. There's still a couple of the social clubs still sort of functioning. But the whole atmosphere there, which was really a class-conscious, working-class one, is gone. The community was so collective-minded. One of the things, for example, has disappeared. The first job I had, you know, out of school, in junior high, was working for a cooperative grocery store. Now, there were many cooperative grocery stores. That is, a bunch of, like, usually no more than 50, because then it would become unwieldy. Cigar makers would get together, and they'd start a cooperative grocery store. They'd hire the butcher. He'd be a full-time worker, the butcher. But then everybody took turns, being at the cash register, and where, yeah, you're on for 3 nights, and you're on Saturdays. And so they would, you know, then if there were profits, would be shared amongst them. But it also made for a kind of leveling. You know, profiteers couldn't come in so easily, you know, if you had cooperative grocery stores, which the cigar makers themselves did. Their whole life around the social clubs, the plays that they would put on. Just, you know, there were people there who were really such good amateurs that they put on rather good shows. I remember going to see Zarzuelas, all of it. They would also bring to Tampa greats, the great actors, you know, like, I mean, Caruso came to Tampa to sing, not to the Americans, but to the Latins. Mm. They paid for that kind of thing. The romerias of the different clubs. There was an enormous social life around all of those clubs. There were all kinds of, you know, collective activities.
Cultural life,
then plus the union, all of that. All that, all these things that bound people together are shot. So that, okay, the Centro Asturiano will have maybe a function now, once a year, a kind of picnic, etc. But everybody's, you know, middle-aged at best, you know. And it's not the same thing anymore. All that kind of living together has, you know, crumbled under the pace of American life. I'm sorry to say American life, but it really, there is a certain kind of thing that in a way is American as opposed to the way they lived.
So your last letter, your memory then of that which we call the Great American Depression of the 30s, your memory is not an unpleasant one.
No, it's not the dark satanic mills. It was all this energy and terrible tragedies, it's true. I mean, you know, the terrible tragedies that people should be out of work and that the children should not have food, that kind of thing. Yes, but my own, you know, the people, I mean, I felt very good about all those people. It's left me with enormous prejudices that make it very difficult for me to read all sorts of political analysts, even, say, of the New Left, who talk about the work being done, say, by young historians of the left, who no longer fall for this glorification of the working classes, etc., because the working class I knew was just great.
De los cuatro muleros, mamita mía, que van al río, que van al río. Y el de la
Which side are you on?
Tell me, which side are you on?